Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Tonight, we're going to think about the most precious feet of all, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15, the prophet points us to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to remember that this verse actually appears 3 times in Scripture. It's not only found here in Nahum, but if you turn back to the prophecy of Isaiah, if you go to chapter 52 of Isaiah, verse 7, you have the same verse almost word for word. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. So twice in the Old Testament this text appears, and then if you go over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, and those of you who have been with us on a Thursday night, you will remember that when we were going through chapter 10 of the book of Romans, we read the great text in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Up until recently, I thought that these verses were all the same. As far as I was concerned, these 3 verses were mirror images of each other. But then I learned something very interesting. I wonder, did you notice that in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it speaks of the feet of them. But in the Old Testament references, in Isaiah and Nahum, it is the feet of him. The feet of him. You see, in Romans chapter 10, it's referring to evangelists, to the preachers of the gospel. It's referring indeed to every child of God who will take the gospel to another human being. And their feet are beautiful because of that. But in the Old Testament, in Nahum and Isaiah, it's referring to the feet of an individual. It's referring to the feet of him. And it's referring to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's referring to the feet of the Messiah. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. The emphasis is on the him. It's on the Savior. It's on Christ. So the prophet Nahum in tonight's text draws our attention to the feet of him, not to the feet of them. You notice what Nahum says as the Holy Spirit inspires him with these words. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him. That word behold is important. It tells us to gaze, to consider, to focus on the feet of the Messiah. We can all think of John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan. He cried, behold the Lamb of God. What was he saying? He was saying to the people, look at him. Focus on him. Don't focus on me. I'm just the forerunner. Focus on the Savior, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was saying that he was just a signpost. We think of Pilate as the Savior crowned with thorns came out before the people, before the rabble. And Pilate spoke those memorable words, behold the man, behold the man. Even Pilate, though he should have released the Savior, still, he was used by the Spirit of God to direct our attention to the man, to Christ. Behold the man. Every time you hear the word, you see the word behold, every time you hear the word behold, remember that you're being taught to focus on someone or something. So tonight, for a few minutes, let us focus, let us behold upon the mountains the feet of Him. You see, we could say, first of all, that the feet of Christ are beautiful feet. They're beautiful feet. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. He used the word beautiful. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him. There's something beautiful, there's something blessed about the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Mary, in John chapter 12 and verse 3, she realized that there was something beautiful about the feet of the Savior. John 12 verse 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. Of course, we're told about the same Mary in Luke chapter 10 that she sat at the feet of Jesus listening to His word. For Mary, there was no place like the feet of Jesus. And she loved to be at the feet of Jesus listening to His word. Now, was there anybody else at the feet of Jesus listening to His word? No, there's nobody else but Mary. She was the only one in the congregation. It was a small congregation whenever Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. But you see, Mary didn't look around her and say, "Oh, well, where's Martha? Well, if Martha's not going to sit at your feet, Lord, well, why should I? Why should I sit here on my own?" That's not the attitude that Mary had. Ah, Mary wanted to sit at the feet of the Master to hear His word. We have the privilege of doing that every Sunday. And even during the week, we can sit at the Master's feet. And we can listen to His word. Oh, what a privilege it is to be able to do that. I hope that we appreciate this great privilege. I trust that we recognize the great privilege that we are. I trust that we appreciate what a privileged people we are. Because you see, dear friends, whenever we fail to appreciate our privileges, you know what happens? The Lord takes the privileges away. And I believe that unless Ulster turns again to the Lord, unless Ulster repents of its backsliding and its turning to heathenism and paganism, unless it repents, I believe that the day is coming whenever the Lord will take the privileges away from us. Who knows? But maybe someday, sooner than we realize, the Bible is going to be taken from us. I don't know. The day might come whenever the authorities will try to destroy the Bible. Oh, we have this book today. And 24 hours a day we can reach up to the shelf. We can go to the drawer in our homes. We can take it down. And we can carouse through its pages. We can peruse through the writings of Scripture. But I wonder, do we appreciate what a great privilege it is? Mary loved to sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to His word. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, it tells us in Matthew 28 verse 9, and they came and held Him by the feet. They came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. There, the risen Savior, risen on that first resurrection morning. Whenever the disciples and Mary Magdalene and the other women, when they came and they realized it was Christ, that He had broken the bars of death and that He had conquered the grave, they came and they worshipped Him and they held Him by the feet. The beautiful feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. the bleeding feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those feet that went about doing good, those feet that travelled up and down the land of Israel, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, loosing the tongues of the dumb, those feet were nailed to the old rugged cross. Psalm 22, verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. Of course, the hymn writer put it like this, Isaac Watts, in this great hymn, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? The bleeding feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God for the bleeding feet of Christ. But thank God they're bleeding no more. They're not bleeding anymore. Oh, the blood has been shed. The blood has poured forth. But they're not bleeding any longer. The passion is over. And yes, the Savior bears the marks of his passion. He bears those wounded feet. But thank God, he bleeds no more. That precious blood that flowed during those 6 hours upon the cross, that precious blood has the power to cleanse the world from sin. Luke 24, of course, describes for us whenever Christ met the disciples after he had risen from the dead. And you remember that the Savior went into that room where the disciples were, and they were filled with fear. I wonder, Christian, are you filled with fear tonight? Are you filled with doubts? We've got the perfect remedy. Luke 24. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. I wonder, child of God, in the meeting tonight, do you lack assurance of salvation? Will you say tonight, well, I believe in Christ, and I believe that he died for me, and I depend on what he did for me at the cross. But, Pastor, I don't feel any different. I don't feel any assurance. I'm filled with doubt and I'm filled with fear. Do you know what the remedy is? Think about his bleeding feet. You consider his pierced feet. Fill your thoughts with thoughts about those feet that were wounded for you. And you see, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ does the same in this meeting as he did all those years ago. He shows his hands and his feet. You'll not see those wounded feet with the visible eye, with the bodily eye. But tonight, with the eye of faith, you can see those feet that were wounded for you. Those feet that were pierced. Those feet that bore the wrath of God that you and I deserved. And the wonderful thought tonight is that if the Savior has taken the wrath and the anger of God upon himself, well, how then can God pour out his wrath and his anger upon me? How then can God pour out his anger and his wrath upon you? It cannot be done. It can't happen. For the person who is trusting in the wounds of Christ, in the pierced feet of Christ, all the wrath is gone. The beautiful feet and the bleeding feet, the burning feet. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15, and his feet were like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. There's the Savior risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. And John gets this vision of the feet of Christ in heaven. And my, they're different to the feet that he bore on the earth. You see, the feet of the Savior in heaven at this particular point, his feet burn. Such is his purity. Such is his power. Such is his glory that his feet are like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. But we can't spend much time on that thought because I want to finish off tonight with the final thought. And you see, whenever we think of the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only think of beautiful feet and bleeding feet and burning feet, but then we think of blessed feet. Blessed feet. Why do I say that his feet are blessed feet? Because if you turn to the book of Zechariah, you'll read that his feet will one day be placed once again upon planet Earth. If you don't believe me, you turn to Zechariah 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth with the Christians. Now the rapture has taken place long before this. And God, the Savior has taken his people to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But now in Zechariah 14, they come back for the millennium, the 1,000 years of perfect peace and bliss upon the earth. And it tells us that his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And that's why they're blessed feet. Those feet that were bruised and those feet that were bleeding. Oh, praise God, there's coming a day when those feet, those blessed feet, will stand upon the Mount of Olives. What a thought that is. Planet Earth thinks that it's seen the last of Jesus Christ. Aye, and I would say most people on planet Earth hope that planet Earth has seen the last of him. The majority of people on the earth do not want the feet of Christ to be placed on this earth once again. But thank God, the day will come when his feet will be placed on this earth, because planet Earth hasn't seen the last of Jesus Christ. Friend, I wonder whenever the feet of Christ are placed again upon the earth, I wonder where you will be. I wonder, will you be in the torments of hell? Or I wonder, will you be with Christ reigning? You see, only the people of God will reign with him in the millennium. Only those who are saved, only those who are redeemed will be there. The enemies of the Lord will be consigned to the agonies and the punishments of hell. Oh, what a blessed thought it is for those of us who are saved. But what a terrible thought it is for the unsaved, and even perhaps for those in the meeting tonight who know not Christ as Savior, what an awful thought it is that the Son of God will return to this earth that he will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel, and he stood on the land and the sea, and he swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The moral man came to the judgment, but self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They cried, but their prayer was too late.